Well, good morning. It is wonderful to be with you all this morning. I feel a little like maybe Paul in his epistles when I would say the church at in Des Moines, Iowa, Anchor Baptist, sends their greetings. We are wonderful and thankful that we are able to not only pray for you guys, but to even partner with you in this opportunity for those of us at Anchor to share the word with you, to be an encouragement to you all. A little bit about myself. My name is Nate Baum, or Nathaniel. I usually go by Nate. I've lived in Ankeny, Iowa for a few years now. I graduated from the Bible College, Faith Baptist Bible College, in 2019, and I've been doing seminary work. Started that in 2021, thereabouts, and I'm, Lord willing, going to be graduating with a Master's of Divinity degree next year in the spring. So that's a little bit about myself, the people who are also with us today. Tabitha Stalkup is here. We are not quite yet to engagement, but we are pursuing that. Feel free to talk with me after services. I'd love to explain more about that. It's certainly an exciting time. And then Taylor Jarman is also with us. He and his wife, Mindy, they also have a little one named Nora. She's about, was it 15 months, you said? Yes. Nora was feeling a little under the weather this morning, so Mindy stayed home with her. So if you would even keep little Nora in your prayers, that would be appreciated. So, yeah, turn in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 23. That will be our text this morning, a very familiar passage, but I think one that is still important and significant to study. I will look. Let's look to the Lord in prayer first, and then we will walk through the passage together. So, Father, I just thank you for this day that you have given to us. I thank you for the ability we have together as your church. I thank you that you have given the local church, that we are able to fellowship with one another, to be an encouragement to one another. I thank you for the bond we have through your Son, that we are able to have unity because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the work Christ has done on the cross to pay for our sins. Lord, I just pray that you will be with us this morning as we spend time studying your word, as we reflect even on a very familiar psalm, that you would that familiarity would perhaps not hinder us, that we would even come to this passage with a renewed fervor, that we would be willing to learn what your word teaches us. Lord, even just be with me as I preach this morning, that you would use me as your faithful servant, that I would be able to clearly and effectively communicate the truth from your word, and that we would all be able to be encouraged and blessed by it together. So Lord, I just commit this time to you and pray this in your Son's name. Amen. I'll go ahead and start by reading through the psalm. So again, Psalm 23 is our text this morning, and I will begin reading in verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So as we approach this passage, I wanted to begin by even just asking you a question to think through. Have you ever had a time in life where you didn't have any clear direction or sense of where you needed to go or what you needed to do. I was reflecting on this myself and remembered the first job that I had working in a kitchen, actually at the Bible College. And going there, I had never worked in a kitchen before, and I certainly felt underprepared, under-equipped. There were people who would say, do this thing, and I'd be like, I don't know how to do this, and which was a point of God growing me in my own heart, of even being gracious to those who would want me to do something that I didn't know how to do. But we have these times, I think, in life where we aren't sure what we need to do, where to turn, or even if we have all we need, even just in life in general, as we live every day, we may come into times where we just aren't sure what we need to do, or do we have what we need to live life today? My encouragement to you from this psalm is that God has provided us all we need for every day. God has provided us all we need for every day. And we see that reflected in this psalm. Looking now at verse 1 specifically, he says, David, the psalmist, writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He begins this psalm by looking to the Lord as shepherd, and how God has these characteristics. David himself, as we know from Scripture, was a shepherd. We won't look at these passages right now, but even you can write down 1 Samuel 16:19. This is an instance where David is described as being one who tends the sheep. And in 1 Samuel 17:34 and following, this is the instance where it's referred to that David fought a lion and even a bear as he was a shepherd. So we know that David was well acquainted with the idea of a shepherd. And we also see elsewhere in Scripture that God himself is described as a shepherd. The first instance of this can be seen in Genesis 48:15, where God is described as a shepherd, but we also then see it throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament as well, this idea of a shepherd. So what's the significance of this imagery? It's helpful to understand with Psalms that there is a lot of it is poetic. There is a lot of imagery that is used to convey or evoke certain ideas and themes. And so David is specifically using the image of a shepherd. And when you think of a shepherd, you think of someone who's personally caring for sheep. There's this intimate connection between the shepherd and his sheep. There's also a sense of protection that the shepherd offers his sheep. And this, as we will see, can be reflected through the imagery of a shepherd. We also then can understand that with this metaphor or imagery of a shepherd, if God is the shepherd, one might ask, well, who then are the sheep? And I think it's clear that David is trying to, though he doesn't specifically mention sheep in this psalm, that he is pointing to that we are God's sheep. So as we move through, we see that the Lord is my shepherd. But then David adds this phrase, I shall not want. I believe that this phrase is really the driving force of this psalm, this idea of I shall not want. Other translations might even translate it as I have all that I need, that there is no lack as God being our shepherd, that we have everything that we need connected to God being our shepherd. And so what we'll see in the following verses then is how God provides all we need, how God provides us what we need for every day. So looking now then at verse 2, you see in your handouts the first point here, God's provision in days of ease and comfort. You see this idea of easiness reflected especially in verse 2 when David refers to these green pastures and still waters to even give some cultural, geographical significance to this chapter. Where David would be shepherding is oftentimes very dry, very arid lands. But then the contrast is these green pastures that the shepherd is leading his sheep to. And then we see then these still waters, interesting connecting point with that, with the imagery of sheep, that sheep don't usually go to drink rushing water. There's also a potential that sheep might end up actually getting caught in the stream and then being carried away. And so the shepherd, in his wisdom, leads his sheep to a place where the water is pleasant. It's very easy for the sheep to drink. One other book that I was able to read through, a very helpful resource, it's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, has some helpful thoughts related to the idea of a shepherd and how it connects to Psalm 23. I'll caveat that I don't necessarily agree with everything in the book. As with many books, it is important to read with discernment, so I would submit that to you should you look at that resource. But Keller, the author of A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, points out with sheep that left to themselves, the sheep will often look to another place for water, oftentimes water that is tainted with bacteria. And so the shepherd, in his wisdom, is guiding and directing his sheep as they are going along a pathway. And so we see how that then even reflects God as our shepherd, that God leads us and directs us, and he directs us in areas of ease and pleasantness. And I think it's important for us to remember as we go about life that there are days of enjoyment and days of ease and rest, and that we need to remember and reflect that these are gifts that God has given to us, and that we can rejoice that God has given us what we need even in those moments, that we don't get so caught up in the easiness of life, but that we remember that God is the one who provides these things to us. Moving on then to verse 3, David says, "He restores my soul." God restores the soul of David in this psalm. The idea of restoration found in this verse can have several ideas connected to it. You have the idea of being restored back to a right relationship. So the shepherd can take a sheep and bring the sheep back to himself. And I know even in the New Testament, Jesus uses a parable of the lost sheep, that he looks for this sheep. And so the idea of being restored back to a right relationship, but it can also be an idea of physical refreshment. This is reflected in Proverbs 25:13, where the idea is more of a physical thing rather than more of a metaphorical idea. So all of this is connected to God providing for us, that he has given us what we need. And then, beyond that, he says, David goes on to say that God, as the shepherd, leads in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The idea with paths of righteousness is, quite literally, it translates to right paths, that God directs people in right pathways. Even more specifically, with paths, the idea is that there are these ruts in the ground. This is a pathway that is familiar, that the shepherd is leading his sheep on. If there was a path that didn't have any clear direction, the sheep could easily wander this way or that way. But God, as our shepherd, provides pathways for us, specifically paths of righteousness. These are right ways to go. And we see the connecting point with that is that he leads us on these paths for his name's sake. These roads have a clear direction, a route, and that ultimate destination is for the glory of the Lord. In especially the Old Testament times, the idea of having a good name was something very significant. You might think of in the story of Ruth with Boaz. Boaz was a man who was known to have a good name. And God, as the shepherd, has a good name, and that is reflected in how he cares for his sheep. He is known to be a good and kind God, a good and kind shepherd. He has a good reputation. So as we even reflect on these verses to remind ourselves of the goodness of God, that God is a good and loving God, our world wants to try to make us think that God is always vindictive or hatred or evil even, but we understand through this psalm that that is not who our God is. So we see these days of, or pleasant days, days of ease and comfort, but in verse 4, we start to see a shift in the imagery here of how I've worded it is God's provision in days of sorrow and hardship. We see in verse 4 that the psalmist talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Literally, it translates to the valley of very deep shadows. So to maybe illustrate this, I would actually invite you to close your eyes and imagine with me a forest. You're in a very dark, deep forest, and the moonlight is just very dimly coming through the trees, but you can't see very far ahead, and you're walking through this forest, and you hear noises, and you can't see what they are. And I would imagine in that moment, you know, what would be some of the emotions you might be feeling? Fear, uncertainty, doubt. That would be the idea that David is trying to get across in this psalm. It is a very deep, dark, uncertain area. We see even though that this is also used, an expression, the valley of the shadow of death is an expression that Job even uses in his laments to the Lord. We know that from the book of Job that Job was a man who went through many deep sorrows, but to the point where he even believes that he was approaching death itself. But we have a great comfort in these times of sorrow and hardship because we don't have to fear evil or uncertainty. David reflects on God as his shepherd, that God is with him. He does not have to fear evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Again, the imagery of a shepherd is brought into play here. The idea with a rod being that for shepherds, rods were used by, it was a tool of the shepherd that was used for defense against any sort of predators, especially wolves, but any other sort of predator, and that the shepherd would use this tool as a way to defend his sheep. But then we also see that he has a staff as well. This is perhaps a very well-known imagery of the shepherd's crook, you know, the stick with a pole here, and this was something that the shepherd would use to guide his sheep. The tip of the stick would usually be laid across the sheep to gently move the sheep back in the right path. So to then now go back to this, again, picturing in your mind, you're going through a dark forest. Now imagine that there is someone with you, that there is a friend. If maybe you're married, it would be, think of someone like your spouse or a very close friend who is with you as you're walking through this dark valley. And this person is able to provide comfort and care and even guidance to direct and tell you that, yes, this is, you know, I am with you. I am going to comfort and provide you for you. This is what David is looking to when he reflects on God as his shepherd in this way, that God is with him in the midst of hardship and difficulty. And I think for many of us, we go through life with many difficulties and hardships. In fact, I was talking with a friend yesterday who has gone through just a really difficult time with a church who's accusing him of sin, though he himself never actually sinned, but just really dark and hard things. And even for a church like here at Blair Ridge, with a church that doesn't have a pastor, it can be difficult, and there are many days of uncertainty, but you can have comfort in knowing that there is a shepherd who is with you even today. God, he is that shepherd. He is, even as a church family, he is with you, providing for you and caring for you as you would walk through even these days ahead. It is also worth pointing out with the idea of walking through these deep valleys that it's not a matter of if. David never says, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He says, when, or though I walk through the valley. The idea is that he's not surprised or is not, he's even anticipating that God will bring people, him, through these dark valleys. And I think that is helpful for us to remember as well, that the same God that is with us in verses 1 through 3 in these days of pleasantness and peace is the same God who is with us when we walk through hard times in life. Though we may not see God, God still is directing us in our lives, and we can take comfort in knowing that regardless of what difficult circumstance you might be finding yourself in, that God is still with you and that you can trust him and look to him for comfort and for peace. As we move now to the last two verses of verse 5, we see what I believe is a shift in imagery. This is something that is worth working through. Some would argue that the imagery of a shepherd is moved to now looking to God as a host. This would be the perspective I would look at with these two verses. Some would say that the imagery of shepherding is still found in these two verses. But I think especially with the idea of a table and him mentioning dwelling in the house of the Lord, that David is now shifting away from looking to God as a shepherd and now looking to God as a host or a provider. However, though, regardless of what one concludes on this passage, and I think there is merit to seeing this as looking to a continuation of God as shepherd, I think regardless of how one would come to these verses, it's important to remember the purpose of these verses is to point back to verse 1, that we have all that we need. But again, we see now in verse 5 with the idea of difficulty and hardship and sorrow, we see even a glimmer of hope in this sorrow. David says to God that God prepares a table before him in the presence of his enemies. It's actually very interesting, this idea of a table, of fellowship with other people, that this actually can be perhaps seen even in David's life. In 2 Samuel 12, 24 through 29, his son Absalom is pursuing David with intent to hurt and to kill him. And we actually see in these verses that David has an opportunity where people come to him to warn him about Absalom, but then several, I don't know, miles away from where Absalom was, his friends set a table before David and provide food for him. So it could be that even in him reflecting, David reflecting on God providing a table, he's thinking of a very specific moment where God, in his goodness, allowed David to experience refreshment in the midst of hardship. But we also see that God not only provides a table, but he anoints David's head with oil. This is very significant in especially the Bible times and Old Testament times, and even in the New Testament. This would be a gesture that is often offered before a banquet where the host would pour oil over and anoint people's heads with oil. It was a very significant part of a banquet. But again, this is all done beneath the fact that this is happening in the presence of his enemies. But beyond the anointing with oil, David says then that his cup overflows. So God is providing even more abundantly for him, even though these are hard and difficult circumstances. It's important for us to remember when we go through difficult times that we're not always guaranteed that we will experience relief or refreshment. These are blessings that God can provide us, and when those times do come, it is important to reflect and praise and even worship God for him giving us these good things. But again, even beyond that, when we go through trials and hardships, and should the Lord not provide these opportunities, we still have to look to God and trust in him and know that it isn't even these good things that we're putting our hope in. If God provides an opportunity for relief from a trial or a hardship, rejoice. But regardless, in hardship, continue to look to the Lord, to trust and depend on him. And finally, as we get to verses 5 and 6, we see God's provision as we look to the final day. So we've seen in verses 1 through 3, when we have days of ease or pleasantness. In verses 4 and 5, when we have days of hardship or difficulty, that we have all that we need. God has provided us all that we need. But now, we have perhaps an eternal perspective in view as God is providing for us. David says in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The idea here in verse 6, he's reflecting on God's goodness and mercy. The word mercy has great significance in Hebrew. The idea of this is the chesed love. This is God's covenantal love towards his people. This has present components for the nation of Israel, that God has provided blessing for the nation of Israel. But there's also still an anticipation of a future blessing that God would bestow upon the nation of Israel. And I think it is helpful, again, for us to reflect and remember that the church is not Israel. God has provided specific blessings for the nation of Israel. Yet, God is still a God of love towards us, and he has promised us a future hope, looking to the coming of his Son one day. So these elements of goodness and mercy, they're following David, and it's the idea here is a strong pursuit. One person I listened to kind of equates it to a highway patrolman, that this patrolman is someone who, when somebody gets in trouble, you know, the patrolman is just going right for that person. So with God, he will follow us and pursue us as we go along in life, again, reminding us of the personal care and intimacy that God has with us. And that this isn't just a brief moment or a one-time thing. David says that this is all the days of his life. This is going to be with him as he walks about the entirety of his life. And for us today, we can reflect and take comfort in knowing that the Lord is with us each and every day of our life. And we see lastly that David then talks about dwelling in the house of the Lord. The idea here for David, he is even perhaps reflecting on being in the temple of the Lord. I would encourage you in your own time to study through Psalm 63. This is one of David's Psalms of Lament, him looking to his where he's at in life and sorrowing to God about these hardships, while at the same time trusting God that he would provide. But in Psalm 63, David talks about wanting, longing to be in the house of the Lord, to be with the Lord, and to fellowship with him. For us believers today, we understand that there is going to be a future home that we have with the Lord. In John 14, 1 through 6, Jesus talks about going to this new heavenly home that God has prepared for his children, that God will provide these things. So we understand, especially today, that God will provide us a future home where we will be in the presence of the Lord. But beyond that, we see even in the book of Revelation that God will one day come to earth and he will establish a new kingdom, a perfect kingdom, where he will reign and rule with perfect authority. And that this will be another opportunity for us, especially as believers, that we will dwell with the Lord. We will be with the Lord forever. And David is looking forward to that day when he will be able to be with the Lord and to fellowship and spend eternity with God. So as we conclude this morning, a couple applications or even admonishments and encouragements. As we go about life, where are you? Do you look to the Lord as you go about life? Is God one that you are actively seeking out, or are you going about life on your own? We can have comfort, especially though, for believers, that if you are perhaps wandering from the Lord or even just not living a life that is pleasing to the Lord, that if you are a believer, Christ has forgiven you of your sins and that God will even restore you and to bring you back into fellowship with him. Not that you have lost your salvation. If you are a believer, God has graciously given us eternal security through his Son. But when we stray or wander, when we sin, we can trust, as we've seen in this psalm, that God, as the loving shepherd, will guide us back onto the pathways of righteousness, a way that is pleasing and glorifying to the Lord. So if you are, even today, struggling with sin, or perhaps even just outright living in sin, you can take comfort in knowing that you can turn to the Lord in repentance, and that he will forgive you, and that he will care for you as a loving shepherd does with his sheep. Perhaps there may be some of you today who have never placed your faith in the Lord. You have not trusted in God for salvation. It's important to remember that a shepherd has his own specific sheep. And if you are an unbeliever, one who has not placed your faith in the Lord, you are not one of God's sheep. And therefore, these promises that David is reflecting on in this psalm, you can't take these and apply these to your life. If you are not a sheep of the shepherd, then you will not be able to receive these blessings. And perhaps, as an unbeliever, you are walking through life and things are hard and uncertain. I know I work with many coworkers at my job who they seem to think that they know how life works and how life is supposed to go. But there's a lot of uncertainty and even fear for them, where they think, I will live this way, but I don't really know, especially with eternal matters. They don't really know where they will end up for eternity. But we know with God as the good shepherd, as a gracious and loving host, that he will provide eternal life for those who love and serve him and place their faith in him. So my charge and admonishment to you, if you have not placed your faith in the Lord, to do so. And I would love to talk with you. I know there would be many here at church who would want to be an encouragement to you and to help you to better understand the gift of salvation. But I would just encourage you to really consider that, to trust and depend on the Lord, and he will continue to provide comfort and blessing for you. So as we even go about this week, may we continue to trust and depend on the Lord, that we would look to him, reflect on his goodness when we have even this week days of peace or enjoyment or rest, to rejoice and give God all the glory as our good shepherd providing for us, that he has graciously offered these things to us in life. But perhaps this week we may encounter hard days, days of difficulty. You might have something unexpected show up in life. You can take comfort in knowing that God is with you and that you can trust him in those difficult matters. And then as we look to our future hope, that we live our life each and every day looking to that day when we will be able to spend eternity with God, and rejoice that that is something for believers who we will be able to participate and rejoice in together. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that you are our shepherd, that you care for us, that you guide us, you watch us, you care for us, that you are a God who loves us and who seeks to guide and direct us. Lord, I just thank you that even in my own life, that you have brought me into your fold as a sheep, following and loving you. I just thank you that you provide guidance and direction and even the ability to live a life that is pleasing to you. Lord, I do pray that as we go about this week, that we would reflect on this psalm and rejoice that you care for us, that you provide blessings for us, that we can trust and depend upon you. And Lord, I do pray that as we anticipate your return, that we would be able to spend eternity with you, that as we wait for that day, that we would continue to trust and depend and love you more. Father, I thank you for this and pray this in your name. Amen.